God has just been pouring out his spirit on the girls on Thursday mornings. And it's always, it's so unexpected, which makes it so fun. But sometimes we can hear phrases, or we know we want to draw closer to God in prayer, but we don't really know how. Maybe just the idea of prayer just bores you to death, okay? Then we're going to help you understand it more. Pastor Deborah brought an awesome word last week. If you didn't hear it, download it. And we're just going to kind of answer some prayer questions that maybe you've heard some lingo. Pastor Sue calls it Christianese. And so we want to kind of help you guys understand that, as well as, you know, we're all learning this stuff together, going through this journey. So I'm just going to go ahead and have everybody introduce themselves real quick, and then we'll get through the questions.
My name is Sue Bryan. My husband and I are the senior, I really like that word, children's pastors. And we've been here at The Rock going on 18 years. And so we're blessed to be here. We have an amazing staff. And I also teach in the Bible college and around here when I can. And so anyway, and God has blessed me to also teach a class called the Holy Spirit class here at The Rock. We teach once a month. So that goes on regularly in the wedding chapel. People get filled with the Spirit all the time. And that's just what I get to do for myself. I love seeing people get filled with the Spirit. So anyway.
Awesome.
Hi, everybody. I'm Eleanor Becker, one of the associate pastors here at The Rock, and serving in the women's ministry, which is just an absolute amazing delight, with a great team and a weekly study like this, being involved in something like this that's very unique. You know, I was telling the leaders this morning, it's hard to get two or three women to agree on anything. What about 300? Or try 350 of us agree on something. There's power in this house. Anyway, my husband and I, my husband also serves as associate pastor here. And what else? We have three amazing children and one beautiful grandbaby. We've been at The Rock. Yay, Grandma! We've been at The Rock about 7 years now.
Cool. Well, you all probably know me, but I'm Pastor Jess, and I'm married to Pastor Dan,
or he's married to me,
and I'm Pastor Jim and Deborah's daughter as well. I'm Pastor Luke's sister, Chloe and Micah and Titus's mom, and now I have a new little puppy, Max, and I am his mommy too. So, and I am a pastor that gets to stay home for a season to raise my children so that they will love the house of God when they get bigger. So I volunteer all my pastoral, and I love coming to Girlfriends on Thursday mornings. It is like, oh, thank God, adults, you know, so I just love being here and doing what we get to do here. And I used to work with Eleanor a lot on the women's ministry stuff, so I come in and help as much as I can. And I just love you guys, and I'm praying for you guys, and I'm excited to be here and see what God is doing in your lives. So,
oh. All right, so now you know kind of a little
bit. Wait, who
bit.
Are you?
Oh, I'm Pastor Michelle. I said that at the beginning. My name is Pastor Michelle Villanueva, and my husband and I are the youth pastors, and so it's a privilege to do that. We love teenagers, and God is just moving in their hearts. It's amazing the leadership that's rising up. And I also have two kids, and so I have Isabella Grace and Carter Steven, and they're my fun handful, and I love being a mom. It is so fun, so that's a little bit about me. Okay, so let's dive into these prayer questions. The first one is this, is the phrase resisting the enemy. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that used, but maybe it's kind of like, who is the enemy? What are we talking about? So Pastor Jess, I'm going to ask you this. Many times in prayer, we will hear someone say, I resist you, devil, or I take authority over you, Satan. What exactly does that mean?
Well, we as the Christians, as God's children, if you are a son and a daughter of God, which hopefully you're not a son, but you're a daughter, and we have authority. God has given us authority over principalities of darkness, over those things and those assignments that have been placed on you. Whether you think that there's a devil or not, there is. And you can pretend that he's real, or you can pretend that he's not there, but he is. And he's lurking and seeking whom he may devour. And so, believe it or not, you don't get to just rest here on this earth. You have to fight. And when we say we are resisting the devil, or we binding the devil, or we're loosing the devil, or we're rebuking the devil, whatever terminology you use, you're taking your authority as a child of God, and you're using the power that God has given us when he went to the throne, he left his power with us so that we have that power now over principalities of darkness. And as my mom and all of us always say, take out your sword, get out your shield, because you're in a battle. This never ends. And you get, God, it's tiring to be a Christian. You know, actually, I have to say, when you're in a battle, it's hard, but as you get good at it, you recognize it a little bit easier, and it doesn't become so exhausting, believe it or not. And so when we say we rebuke you, I know when I'm praying over my kids, I will oftentimes say, I just break this assignment over them in the name of Jesus. You go back to hell where you came from. Devil, you have no place here. And I tell him where to go and what to do with it. So I'm not afraid of him, and you shouldn't either, because in the Bible, I do have verses on this, so I'm not just talking. Let's see. I have lots of verses, and these are not my notes. So it says in Matthew 18, assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I read this one when I talked about the disappointment, when I prayed, preached on disappointment. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And then I wanted to also use Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I'm going to read it. I want you guys to write this down, okay? Children, obey your parents. I love that one, though, don't you? Okay, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, he doesn't say to be strong in you. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that's not just a suggestion that the devil's going to come against you. That's a fact. It's going to happen, so get ready. Okay, verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on your breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and to be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end. Listen, keep your eyes open. You bind him, you do not allow him to come near your kids, you do not allow him to come near your marriage, you do not allow him to come near your finances, you do not allow him. You can resist him, you can rebuke him, you can tell him to flee and get away from you, get away from what's going on in your life. But you do this in prayer. Be watchful to the end to preservation and supplication for the saints. Now, supplication, that is a time of thanksgiving too. So thank God for the power that he's given us. Thank him for what he's given us the authority to take over and to, you know, put back into our court. Don't let the devil think that you're backed into a corner and you're scared and you're afraid of what's going on in your life. No, you get out of that corner and you tell him to go back to hell where he came from. And that's what you have the power and the authority to do as a daughter of God. And for the utterance that may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly and I ought to speak. Listen, don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid of the enemy. You have power. You know, in Ephesians, I'm going to use it actually when I talk a little bit earlier, but in Ephesians it talks about how Jesus went, when he died and he went up and sat at the right hand of God, that he left his authority to us, to the church. And so, girls, you have authority in Christ, but you will be walked on, you will be kicked, you will be broken, you will get beat up by the enemy if you do not take your place and you do not rebuke him, you do not tell him to go back to hell where he came from, that you bind him and don't allow him to take place in your life. And so that is the authority that we have over the enemy. And that's what binding and loosing and rebuking, you'll see those words in the word of God. But at the same time, because they used them, we can use them because God has given us the authority to do that.
So good word. Good. So this might be completely new to you. I know Richard's family is kind of like baby Christians. So they're like, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you. Okay, so maybe...
It's really the cutest thing.
So maybe you've been in that boat, or maybe you've known about this. Hey, this is the stir yourself up time. Maybe we've gotten a little lax. So maybe you're thinking, oh man, this is review. No. Just stick with it. Take some notes. Okay, Pastor Sue, my next question is for you. Prayer of agreement. So I've heard you talk a lot about the prayer of agreement. What does it mean for two people to agree in prayer?
Okay, well, this is a powerful, powerful mode of prayer. When you've been praying for something or standing in faith and it just seems like for whatever reasons it hasn't manifested or there hasn't been quite the answer that you're believing God for, if God hasn't shown you any area of disobedience that you're doing wrong or unforgiveness to hinder your prayer, then find someone that you know is of like faith with you, someone that's tenacious in prayer, someone that you know walks in faith, believes God for things, and get them to agree with you in prayer, pray with you, and believe also that God's will be done in that area. Now, this is wonderful if your spouse is in agreement, but I know a lot of you, either your spouse isn't really where you're at spiritually, or perhaps you're not married. But in my husband's and my life, especially where we've seen this prayer just almost magical, is in the area of working with the children's ministry. And when we first started working with children here at The Rock, I thought it was all about just loving little children. And they're wonderful. They're the easy part. They're why we do it, those snotty-nosed hugs. But it was really, I found early on, all about the volunteers that we needed to be in the offices, or be in the classrooms with the kids and loving the parents and all that kind of thing. So there's been many times that, you know, just about the time we were happy, seemed like we had a lot of volunteers, things were going good, then two would have to drop out or one would move or this or that. So we realized that it was something we constantly had to use our faith for. And sometimes when it seemed like, gosh, why aren't we getting anyone to, you know, come on board and what's going on, we would go, oh, maybe we should agree in prayer. And so then we would come together for a season of prayer and just really bring our hearts together and lift it up to the Lord. And then we would see, I would say, it would be like popcorn, just people volunteering and wanting to work in the classrooms and the department kind of coming alive again. So the scripture that we base this on is Matthew 18:19. It says, again, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And just like Pastor Eleanor exhorted us earlier, I mean, to have this many women all in agreement, and that's what's really going on in your tables afterwards. Yes, there's a table talk where you're sharing your hearts and sharing your needs, but then when you come together after that to pray, that is where God is right in the midst of that prayer to establish it and to bring it to pass. And I thought of another verse just as we were sitting here and praying. In Psalm 133, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen to this. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, who was a priest, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Listen to this. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. And I think what we're seeing in this movement that's going on now on Thursday mornings is that God is commanding a blessing on our unity. Turn to your girlfriend next to you and say, I love you.
I love you.
I love you. We might not agree on everything, we might politically or how to raise kids or whatever. But we are committed to each other, and we can agree in prayer. Amen? Amen.
Good. Good, good, good. And don't ever feel like you need to be ashamed to ask somebody for prayer. One of our youth workers was sick, and she's in Bible college. She said, well, I just thought I should pray for myself. I'm like, no, let's all pray for you. Let's get together. So, okay, Pastor Eleanor, fasting. Everybody say, ooh. All right. What is the deal with fasting, and what about this Daniel fast that everybody talks about? Could you explain that?
Yes, let me say something about it. Fasting is such a huge topic. Books have been written about it. We can really, on any one of these topics, we can sit here all day and do a 1 hour and a whole series about it. But in short, fasting is when you, for whatever period of time, in different ways, abstain from eating food. There are different forms of fasting. You can fast for a certain number of days. You can fast a meal. You can do a partial fast. You can do an extended fast. It is a physical discipline to fast. Food is very physical, okay? But it has spiritual results. Even if you're not a believer, those in the world, for health reasons, something happens in your body. If you do a 3-day fast with water, don't ever try fasting without water until unless an angel actually appeared and told you to do that. Say, for instance, without the spiritual side of it, you fast for 3 days, just drink water. There are physiological things that happen in your body. There's a purification that takes place. There's a restoration. There's a healing that takes place. Huge physical benefits on top of losing weight. That take place when you fast. But in the spiritual realm, if you fast because you feel God has placed it on your heart, and we'll get into some things, something spiritual happens when you fast physically. It's a physical discipline, but it becomes a spiritual discipline. You are body, soul, and spirit, right? Your body is your flesh that has its own way expressed through your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then you have your spirit. Your spirit is where you connect with God. You connect spirit to spirit with God. And in my life, something is controlling my actions and the way I think and what I do and such. The battle in my life is between my spirit and my flesh, or my spirit and my emotions and will and what I want in my mind, really, my mind, will, and my emotions. So there's a war going on. So who's winning the war in your life between your spirit and your soul, or your spirit and your flesh? Do you know we have a very, very easy little test to see who's winning? You want to hear what it is? Stop eating. Yes. You're looking at me like, not going to do this. Just stop eating and you will see how strong your flesh really is. Because it will yell at you and it will yell at everybody around you when you get hungry. So Pastor Jess, for one, yeah, she needs to be in the spirit when she's not eating. Then she's good. But if she's
not good, huh?
But if she is just simply not eating, it's like, just let's just get her something to eat, please. So,
too many trips to LA.
Right, right. But
they take me down there and don't feed me.
Yes. But when it's a spiritual discipline, when you say, God, show me what is it that you want for me to do as far as fasting, and God put on your heart how to fast, then it becomes a spiritual discipline and you're going to reap spiritual benefits. The Bible is filled with it, and we can give you a lot of scriptures, but you need to go look these scriptures up in your Bible and check it out and see what happens. In the Old Testament, it was a sign of devotion to God, different things at different times. It was also, let's look at the Daniel fast. A lot of people have been talking about the Daniel fast. What that is known as is eating fruit and vegetables. See, at different times, Daniel, in the one instance, he fasted for results. He really fasted for the nation. He interceded for 3 weeks. And you can read about that in Daniel 9 and 10. And then you see how he had a spiritual encounter and then realized his fasting was really breaking through in the spiritual realm. Let me say this. Fasting is not to move God. We do not need to fast to move God. Jesus had already paid the full price for you. You don't have to suffer and go to the cross and all these to move the hand of God. God is always moving. But when our flesh is so strong that it's ruling our life, we are not spiritually tuned in and sensitive. So how do I get, one of the ways to get my spirit in tuned and sensitive is starve the flesh. And fasting is really starving the flesh, but we see in scripture also that amazing spiritual breakthrough has come because of fasting, because fasting also does something in the realm of the evil in the spiritual. Let me take you to a lot of scriptures, but Isaiah 58, write this down, Daniel 9 and 10, you can go read it, but breaking of strongholds in Isaiah 58, 6 says, is it not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? There is a level of spiritual war that gets stepped up when you put in the mix starving your flesh. It's a very good spiritual discipline to do that. In the New Testament, there's the boy that had epileptic seizures, and his parents came to Jesus, and he was throwing him in the fire and in the water, and they prayed, didn't get loosed from the demon, and then disciples came back to Jesus and said, why did he not get healed? And Jesus says, you faithless generation. And that is when he said, these only come out by prayer and fasting. It's because we are faithless. If you're sitting here and you feel spiritually dull, ladies, girls, if you feel spiritually dull, ask God that he lead you in fasting. Be careful, practical things. It is not just fasting, it is prayer and fasting. Okay? Be wise. Start slow. Skip one meal. If you say this cannot be that important, yeah? Just skip one meal and see how you feel. And you will see how strong that thing is. So just my challenge to you is, in the name of Jesus, with God's direction in the Holy Spirit, go before God, supplement or, you know, sacrifice your meal and say, God, I'm not going to eat instead of this meal. I'm just going to focus on you, because the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone. I need you, God. I need you. And again, you're not moving God. You are tuning yourself in to get more sharp spiritually, to grow in faith, and to just be more effective. If you have any other questions, please ask us. Get a book to read. Fasting can be dangerous. Don't go home and stay without food and water. You know, it can be very detrimental to your health. It needs to be done the right way, with wisdom. But everybody can fast one meal, or fast desserts, or do a partial fast and work yourself your way up to a fuller fast, and you will see the power. You will be blessed.
Good, 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 good. And the medical term of being hungry and angry is actually called hangry. So I'm just joking. That's not a medical term, but it's what I say. I say, oh, that person must be hangry. Let's get them something to eat. Okay. all right. I have a little question that I'm going to answer. I'm going to ask myself. Pastor Michelle. No. Okay. Many ladies might have questions about laying on of hands. Okay. Maybe you've seen that done. When, you know, God has been moving, especially at girlfriends lately. I mean, we've been laying hands on everybody. All right. Maybe that didn't happen in your old church and you're kind of like, what is that all about? Well, let me show you some scripture. First of all, Jesus did it, and he laid hands on people to heal the sick. So if we could go ahead and show some of these scriptures up on, we have Luke 4:40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick and various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and he healed them. So it's what Jesus did. We love to do what Jesus does. You know, we're Christians. We follow after him. And many times it's kind of a release of faith is what happens, is we lay hands on the sick. You know, their faith rises and the Holy Spirit just moves. And that's one way that laying on of hands is done. Another way is God's told us to do it. So not only did Jesus do it, but in Mark 16, verse number 18, we have it up on the overhead. And do we have it up on the overhead? It's a great commission, but there we go. It says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's God's promise to us, as we pray for the sick, which is exactly what our youth workers did last night for a girl who's had horrible reports about her brain swelling, blacking out, aches in her bodies. I mean, I said, girl, we need to pray for you now. Let's lay hands on you and pray for you now. Another way that you'll see it in the Bible is also with the Holy Spirit. In Acts verse, in chapter 19:6, if we have that verse on the overhead, Acts 19:6, you'll see Paul praying for people. And he was praying for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So that's another, you know, that's another example. And then lastly is with an anointing in leadership. In Timothy, in 1 Timothy 5:22, you know, Paul writes to him and he's talking to this new younger pastor and he's saying, just be careful who you lay hands on. In fact, if we have that on the overheads, I'm very fast, if you can tell. it's more like this when I'm preaching. But it says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. So you'll often see when someone's ordained, like Dion was just ordained, and as we sent out Pastor David and Dion, you know, we laid hands on them and just anointed them with this new leadership. The Holy Spirit just came on them for that next level. So those are a couple of different examples of laying on hands. Okay, next question. Pastor Sue, back to you. Slain in the spirit. Sometimes people get hands laid on them and prayed, and then there's this phrase that people have said, slain in the spirit. And it kind of can be a little bit freaky, I guess. You know, I saw this is, you know, just an idea. Maybe you saw someone fall after being prayed for, you know, after a main service, and someone else said, oh, they just got slain in the spirit. So what does that term mean?
Well, it's a term that I think became popular kind of in the charismatic movement when people actually started laying hands on people and they would go out under the power of God. And it was kind of a phrase that became popular. Personally, we don't really like that phrase around here because God isn't slaying anybody. But there is something that happens sometimes when people lay hands on you. When your flesh encounters the power of God, sometimes you can't stand up under that power. And so sometimes, especially like if you've gone forward at the end of the service to have someone pray for you in the prayer line, or you've had prayer around here, you'll sense like the power of God kind of hit you and get a little bit weak-kneed, and maybe you'll kind of catch yourself. But if you could actually, you know, go ahead and yield to that, you might find yourself on the floor. I've been under the power of God before and laying there thinking, I'm going to get up. Yep, going to get up. Here I am. I'm going to get up. But I'm not moving. And because the power of God is amazing. I mean, God is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and sometimes when your flesh comes in contact with it, something has got to give there. Well, it is scriptural. There are times in the Bible where people have gone out or been laid out under the power of God, and so we're not doing anything around here that is not scriptural. Now, we don't just have like going out into the power parties where we see how many can go out, But I want you to be aware of it in case you do sense that you can, especially if there's somebody there to kind of help you or help you fall, you can just kind of lay there under the power of God and just let him do what he wants to do. And sometimes he's healing you. Sometimes he's just ministering to your heart. The Spirit of God is very gentle but very powerful. And some of the scriptures that where we see it in the Word, the first one is John 18. And this is where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas comes for him to betray him. And it says in verse 3 that Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. In Matthew 26, it says, a great multitude came to get Jesus with swords and clubs. A great multitude. Now, I don't know what that would be, but that's more than just a few. A great multitude of soldiers with swords and clubs came to get Jesus in the garden. Now, he was one man. He'd been with them teaching all the time. But the enemy had prompted them through Judas and the leadership, the Pharisaical leadership, to come take him captive. And they knew his power. They'd seen him. They'd heard of the stories. They'd seen people get healed and everything. So they thought, well, we'll just get more people and that'll stop him. You know, we'll just overpower him with this great multitude. Well, so they come up to him. And in verse 4, it says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward. He went to greet them. He didn't run from them. There were times that he would just walk through the crowd and be gone when it wasn't his time. But this was his time to go to the cross, and he was very aware of that. So here comes this multitude with swords and clubs, an angry group. This is not a fun party that's going to happen. And so he went toward them. He approached them, and he said, whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Now, he there is italicized. It was actually added by the translators based on the context of the setting. But Jesus basically said, when they said, we're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am. Now, who is the great I am? He's God. And he knew he was God. And so he said, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And when Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Here is a group, a huge multitude of soldiers with swords and clubs coming for one man. And they say, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, I am. And they all, everybody say all, fell backward under the power of God with their swords and their clubs. So Jesus is basically saying here, you're not coming to take me with those little swords and those little clubs. I am the I am. I am God. And just by him speaking, as he spoke and created everything we see, they went out under the power of God. And he was basically saying, I'm laying down my life. You're not taking me. But the power of God hit them, and they went out under the power. Then there's another reference in 2 Chronicles 5:14, where they had just moved the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And Solomon orchestrated that all the dancers and the praisers would be there praising and worshiping God. And they were all there. And they, by the way, they sacrificed, I was reading, they sacrificed 20,000 bulls before worshiping God. When he came, they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple that Solomon had just built. 20,000 bulls, and 122,000 sheep. It was basically, he was just cleansing Israel before the throne. But in verse 14, 2 Chronicles 5:14, it says, and all of the praisers, all of the worshipers began to say, they all began to praise the Lord as one. We talked about unity. All the instruments, all the praisers. It says, when they began to sing and play as one, verse 13, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. They just began to sing, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. With the instruments, with the singers, all as one. The unity where God commands the blessing. Then it says, as they praise the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. God was in the cloud. It was the glory cloud. Verse 14, so that the priests could not continue ministering. It literally says there in the Hebrew, they could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So when the power of God really comes down, like we want to see it, something has to give, and sometimes it's your flesh. Yeah. But you're not slain. You're not dead. Nobody's dead. I don't like that term. I like to say people fall under the power, because that's what they do. Sometimes they fall under the power. So if you can help me, I'm on a little personal mission to get that phrase changed. But anyways, if we could change it around here, that'd be great. But if somebody goes out in the power, or you sense the power of God coming on you, just let him minister to you. It's all good.
Good, good, good.
Woo.
All right, ladies. Well, that is our session of Q&A. So now it's time for show and tell, or tell and show, where these girls are going to preach a power-packed message, and then we are going to pray for you. So it's going to be good. So let's just give everybody another hand clap, and Pastor Jess is going to be our first minister. So... you ready, Pastor Jess?
Yes, I guess.
We're ready for
you. Do I
get
a pulpit? Yeah. I'll get it. No, you don't have to get it. I didn't get it. I work out. All right. Well, that was good. Did you guys learn anything? I mean, I know it's, for some of you that have been Christians for a long time, but honestly, we get a lot of people that are new to God, and they're like, I don't understand some of this stuff that's going on. So what we're doing today, we're just trying to educate you more on prayer, because a lot of times prayer can be just a very simple thing. And for me, just so you know, it is a very simple thing. Prayer for me is a daily thing. It doesn't happen for me at a certain time. It happens for me all day long. And so they asked me to preach on, these aren't my notes. This is the agenda. Let me get my notes out. So they asked me to preach on praying the word. Now listen, praying the word, I believe, is the most incredible gift that God has given us. Because when we pray the word, you don't even have to come up with it yourself. It's right there for you. There's power in it, and it brings breakthrough. And so when you pray there, you say, Pastor, just what does pray the word mean? It means that what the Bible says, the promises that God has given for us, the things that he has done for us, that he has conquered and already brought to the cross and it died there, and he covered it with his blood for our sin, we can pray that now and stand in faith in those areas. And so I have just a couple things. Praying the word, what does it do, and what are some of the things it does for us? So in Mark 11:24, it says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and that you will have them. So let me just say this. Do you ever pray and think, okay, I just prayed it, but I don't really believe that. I don't know, I'm going to pray it because I know I have to, but I don't really know in my heart if that's really what I believe. See, right there, you're going with doubt. You're not going in faith. You're not speaking the word. There is no power in what you just said. You might as well have just shut up and not said anything. Because you've just bound yourself. You know, we talked about binding the devil. Yeah, you just bound yourself. Because God says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's the key. You have to believe it. Don't pray it if you don't believe it. You know how we say, don't give your tithes and offerings with a grudging heart? Because it won't be a blessing to you or us, so please keep it. Like, it's the same thing. Because this is about the heart. God sees your heart when you pray. He knows what you believe. And so begin to believe what you are praying for, and then you will have it. Praying the word does some things for us. Number one, it brings God's power to the issue. Listen, you cannot do this within yourself. You need the power of God to back you on every step of your day. And so I'm going to just get through this really fast because we got a lot to do. In Acts 27:25, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told me. How simple is that? You know, when I tell my daughter, Chloe, when you ask Jesus for healing, you're healed. So what does Chloe say? Dear Father God, I just thank you that your word says that I am healed by the stripes on the cross. And as soon as Chloe is done praying her prayer, you know what she says? Okay, mommy, I'm all healed. And she walks away. And I'm telling you, faith like a child. Because if you could believe and receive, you will believe what he has told you and you will walk away with it. It brings power to the issue because then there's not doubt and fear and condemnation and disappointment and all those things that we've been touching here at Girlfriends. Those things are washed away and God brings the power to the issue. Number two, it aligns your heart to remain in faith. When you have to pray the word, it gets you back in faith. Because you can pray your own prayers. You can pray your own things. But there's always going to be that human part of us in it. And God says, you got to get you out of the way. Remember we talked about putting the flesh aside. Then you need to get God in it. And how you get God in it is you speak his word. Because listen, he wrote it. He's not a liar. And when we pray the word, we are reminding him. We are going boldly before the throne and says, dear Father God, your word says that I am healed. So God, therefore I am healed. And you know what? I know that when my kids come to me and they say, Mom, you said that I could have candy if I went and cleaned up the toys. Okay, what am I supposed to do? You're right. You reminded me of what I said. Here's your piece of candy. Thank you for doing what you needed to do. But if my kids didn't do what they needed to do and they said, Mom, can I have candy? No, I never said you could have candy. Yes, you did. What would that be? That would be a lie. That wouldn't be from what I said. There was no authority in what they said. I said, yeah, right. Get out of here. You ain't getting no candy. Mm-mm. You're not teasing me. See, God's the same way. Remind him of his word because he's given it to us. And so it aligns our heart back in faith with what he says on our issues. Number three, speaking life. In an issue, it's so easy for humanity to go to the negative. It's so easy for us to go to the death of the situation. Oh, the woes and oh, the frustrations and oh, the negative, negative, negative. Because it's just easy to go there. Have any of you noticed that? Especially you girls as women. We have a tendency to go there. And God is saying, stop going there, speak life into it, put the word into it, back it up with my word. John 12:50 says, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Speak it. Say the word. Say what's going on over your life, because let me tell you something. The enemy's going to come in and tell you something else. You're going to start hearing voices around you, friends, family members, husbands, wives, people in your world, and they're going to say, what are you thinking? What are you believing? That's not what God's word says. That's not what God says. Don't you allow that. You speak life over that situation. Number four, it eliminates the enemy's assignments when you pray the word of God. It eliminates the enemy's assignments. In Luke 9:1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over demons and to cure all diseases. I don't know about you, but I want that power. And I know the enemy has placed assignments on my life, on my children's life, on this church, on your lives. And let me tell you something. Pastor Jess is up in the middle of the night breaking those assignments all the time. All the time. But you have to be sensitive to the spirit. And don't think that Pastor Jess and Pastor Sue and Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah should be the only ones up breaking those assignments. You guys get up off your feet and you start breaking some assignments because you have the authority to do it. But the more that you put up with, the more that you're going to be weakened and the enemy's going to come take you out. And so listen, eliminate the enemy's assignments by speaking the word over the situation. I wanted to take you to Ephesians, okay? Go with me to Ephesians 1:20-23. And it said, now listen, this is really good for the assignments and stuff, the power that you have over it. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. He has put all things under his feet. And he has gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is you, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You guys are here to fulfill what God has put out. So speak the word over what is in front of you. Now, I will give you some quick examples, but let me tell you, whatever situation you're dealing with, get to the back of your Bible. There's a concordance. Go look up the word. If you're disappointed, look up disappointment. If you're frustrated, if you're angry, if you're mad, if you're hurt, if your heart is broken, if you're devastated, if there's a bad report that's come back for your healing, go look up the scriptures and let me tell you something. You read on those every day. You get it in your spirit because what's in your spirit is going to come up out of you in your time of need. What you put in is what you're going to get out. So get the word in you so that you can pray it. And listen, I have lived this like no other. And I'm telling you, my kids and my family, we speak the word. And that is just how we're going to live. And so this is how it goes. What are some of the things that maybe you could use? For instance, healing. 1 Peter 2:24. Use this verse. Now, this is just one of a million verses on healing, okay? But it says, who himself has bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Listen, you were, past tense, you were healed. It's already done. It's a done deal. It was written in the blood for you. So stand in what God's word says. If you got a bad report, what does the Bible say? It says you were healed. It's already done. So every time you get the bad report, every time you start feeling yucky, every time those things start coming at you, what do you say? You say, I was healed by the stripes on the cross. It is done. And it can be a short, simple prayer, but you pray the word because it battles that and it combats what the enemy's bringing in. It combats what the enemy's bringing in. You have to combat what the voices are saying around you and combat it with the word of God. Number two, maybe you need provision. Psalms 115:12, it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless this house of Israel and he will bless Aaron. If he's not a respecter of persons, he's going to bless you. And you just stand on what God says. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, but you do your part. You be a tither and you trust God in that. Now, maybe you need some restoration in your family. You need to be restored in your heart, whatever. Maybe he's a restorer. Psalms 23:3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's awesome. When you're broken, when you're hurt, God, just restore my soul. Your word says that you will restore my soul, that you will lead me to righteousness, because God, I'm pissed right now. You know, I mean, let's be real with him. I'm so mad at them right now, God. But restore my soul. Bring me in peace, God. Bring me to righteousness, God, because I am so unrighteous right now. And you can pray those things to him. Be real with him. Listen, if you don't know me, I'm very real with God. People probably are like, I can't believe you said that to him. But you know what? He knows I'm thinking it, so I might as well say it, right? So be real with him, because he will be real right back with you. And he will correct you when you need to. Believe me, he corrects me when I talk to him, okay? And then for your children, I know that Dan and I pray many things over our children, but I'm going to give you some quick prayers. Ephesians 1:15-23, and Ephesians 3:15, I think it's through 30. I need to look it up. And then I'm going to give you this one, Psalms 1:1-3. And this is how I pray it. I'm going to give you an example. You guys ready? Blessed is Chloe, Micah, and Titus. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law that Chloe, Micah, and Titus will meditate on this day and night, that they shall be a tree planted by the rivers of living water, that they will bring forth fruit in their season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever they do, they shall prosper. I put my kids' names in the verses. I pray this over them. Dan prays this every night over my kids. I pray the Ephesian prayers over my children every night. If your kids are wandering in the wilderness, read Psalms. Start speaking life instead of death into them. Because the word is what changes things. You can't, but God can. And the way he does is through his word. He's not a liar. So use his word, because there's power in it. All right. So what we're going to do right now is do you want to just come up, or do you want to go to the tables and pray? Well, it's 1:45. What's my time limit? Okay. Well, let's pray then. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray the word. Okay. You guys are going to get together, and you're going to just think of a situation. And I want you guys to maybe look up a scripture real quick in the back of your Bible and pray that scripture. You can use the 31. Are they on the tables? Okay, Proverbs 31. Those are on the tables if you need those for your children. And I want you to find a scripture and go around the table real quick, and I just want you to just pray the scripture over your life. Put someone's name in it if you need that name to be dropped in, like I just did with my kids, because there is power in praying the word. We're going to have you do it so you learn it, so when you're alone, you will do it yourself. All right? Okay, so was that good? Was it good to kind of see how to do that? Good. Now listen, like I said, get it in you so it comes out of you, but I want to pray the word over you. Okay, you guys ready? We're going to go before the Lord. Dear Father God, we just thank you for the girls in this house. And Lord, we just praise you, God. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against these girls will prosper, that no weapon formed against their kids will prosper. Lord, that they are more than conquerors. God, I ask that there be a peace that passes all understanding over them. Lord, I pray that you would give them sleep and rest. God, your word says that if we sleep in peace, that we will dwell in safety, God. And I thank you for that in Psalms. And Lord, I thank you, God, that they are healed by the stripes on the cross. And Lord, we stand in your word, and we thank you that you went to the cross for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would cover them, Lord. Your word says that you will pour open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, God. I pray that those that tithe would be blessed above and beyond what they even hope, dream, or imagine, God. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us power and authority over the enemy. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings upon us. And everybody said, amen.
Yes. You know, I had a conversation with Pastor Debbie last week, and she was telling me about a study that she read of a neurologist that wrote about the power of sound. You know, in the science of sound, there's so much spirituality. And this neurologist was writing about how when we speak, when you actually verbalize and you actually speak and the sound goes forth, that something neurologically happens in your brain. You know, connecting goes on, and a chemical reaction in your brain by sound. And the sound of God also, the sound of God, God's word brings faith. So there's so much power in that. Don't just think it. Don't just pray it under your breath, like we said today, but pray it out loud and get somebody to agree with you. And God wants to do amazing things in your life. Okay, so we're going to move on. I'm going to talk to you also about prayer. Hallelujah. You know, God is speaking to us, right? This is the will of God for us to stop and pause a little bit on prayer. And this speaks to my life. It starts with me, starts with us, and saying, God, you are inviting us to new places, to new things, to maybe things that we have forgotten about, maybe things we have lost faith for, that God wants to stir our hearts to start praying those things again. How many of you in this room can say today, my prayer life needs to improve? All of us? Yes, so we are in the right place. So there's a progression of sorts. As I was thinking about this, I want to point out a couple things about prayer. Four stages, if you can say it, if you can call it stages. But first of all, if you feel weak in your spiritual life or in your prayer life, it's not rocket science, girls. Just pray. Just start somewhere. Don't think that you have to pray for an hour, that you have to pray. You know, there's a law and there's legal things with God. As if I don't pray, God's mad at me. He's going to beat me up. He doesn't like me. He's not going to answer me. Just pray. It's a very intimate thing to speak to somebody one-on-one when you're alone. So I want to go as far as to say your spirituality, or where you feel you are in your spiritual walk with God, is directly connected to your prayer life. Because how can you know somebody when you don't talk to them? How can you know somebody when you don't listen to them? And prayer is not just one way. As you pray, as you spend time, as you ask God questions, He's going to speak back to you. So for goodness sakes, if you're in this place and you say, oh my goodness, I feel so guilty, stop it. Don't feel guilty. Just move on and say, I am going to pray. Even if it's while I'm driving, if it's while I'm washing my dishes, sing your prayers to God. When you sing your baby to sleep, sing prayers. Sing the word of God. Sing, thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, and sing lullabies like that. You know, be creative. Don't put yourself in a box. Just pray. Just pray. Okay. Then, here's the second thing. Pray again. Pray again. I want to tell you about a story when my husband was so sick in the hospital many years ago. He burned almost to death. And we were in the hospital praying. His life was on the line, and it was all about prayer, you know, pray through all the phases. If you've ever had somebody really sick, every moment of the day, there's almost a new thing to pray for. So we prayed. And one day they rolled him away for surgery, and I stayed behind in the room, and I had my Bible, and boy, it was a lonely place. And I just opened my word, and I said, God, how can I, you must maybe tired of me, because here I am again with the same thing. We've been praying now for weeks, and I just doubted myself, you know, thinking, am I doing the right thing? Just a thought in my head. Again, me, Lord, it's me again. And the scripture opened up at this verse. Let me read it to you. Matthew 26:42 says, again, a second time, he went away and prayed. Did you see the capital H? This is Jesus. I said, okay, he prayed again. The same thing. And then it said, again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And I cannot tell you, it was a moment in my life that I will never forget, that God dropped in my heart, it is okay to pray again. And I should be praying again. You know, don't feel, you know, maybe somebody said you pray one time and then you start thanking God. Yeah, that's good if you're in faith, but it's not like God's going to beat you up if you pray the same thing over and over. There is something to say about praying again. So here's my challenge to you. What is it in your life that you have given up on? You may have prayed about it. It may be in the recesses of your dream place in your heart, and you've given up on it. And God is saying, no, I'm maybe not done with that. You can pray again. Listen, if Jesus Christ, he was in death sweat. If Jesus, the Son of God, can pray three times the same prayer, I think I can pray 300 times the same prayer on one day. It just gave me permission and encouraged me to say, pray again, pray again. So I want to encourage you. Luke 18 also is the story of the widow that was persistent. There is a persistency. Go back to God, go back to God, go back to God. But then there are times still maybe you don't see something happen. It's really not praying for results, girls. It's really God turning your heart into what he needs for you to be when you pray. It's not a one-way street. It's not praying, God, now, and we can do fervent prayer, but ultimately, God knows the best. You may think he's not answering your prayer, but God may be doing you the biggest favor in the world. You just don't know it. So as the Lord wills should always be your conclusion. But here's what I want to say. Beyond that, pray through. Have you heard people talk about that? Praying through. Now, I remember as a little girl, my granddaddy was a Pentecostal pastor. And I remember I heard the adults talking about praying through, and they would tell stories about how they prayed through. You know, there was this, God would just put on their hearts a certain situation, maybe with a certain family or a certain situation in the church. And they decided, grandpa decided, this is it. This is war. And I'm not stopping before this is not done. And they would get together a couple of people and they would pray and pray and pray. And sometimes they prayed through the night. I remember I had bronchitis. I was very sick when I was a little girl. I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And I have visions of my mom with a big pot of Vicks water next to the bed on a little stove. That was in the dark ages. She boiled and I would hang over the steam so I can just breathe. And here in the room, there was my grandpa kneeling, and my grandmother kneeling, and my uncle, and my aunt, and my dad. And they would just, I just have this vision, and they were just praying. They just stayed there. They just prayed, and I think if they didn't do that, I wonder if I'd be here today. They were there to pray this through, and they didn't stop until they felt this was it. You know, sometimes it's also called intercession. When you stand in the gap for somebody and you are not giving up. Here's how, just to put it in simple terminology, you may sometimes feel something come over you that may not feel good. You may have a sense of discomfort. You may think it's worry or concern, or you're anxious about something. You know that feeling, right? It's maybe you're thinking of your child or a parent or a friend and or a situation somewhere, and suddenly it's like a cloud comes on you. It's like you can feel it. Why not say that that is God putting you in a place of telling you to pray? I had this happen the other night. I was on my way home from a Wednesday night service, amazing Wednesday night service here at the church. I happened to be alone in my car. That was God too. And I got in the car, and one of my kids just came in. It just came on my heart, and I thought about this child. It was like, oh, it just hit my heart. And I could have said, man, I'm just having a bad night. I'm so worried about my son and blah, blah, blah. And I was in the car, but I just had church. So I was in the car, faith-filled, and I just started praying. It came on me, and I just this holy resistance and anger rose up in me, and I started praying in that car out loud, cool driving, safely driving, but I was carrying on in that car. I was binding and loosing and yelling and screaming and proclaiming, and I said, Satan, you will not have my child. He will not depart when he's older, and you put him, you know, next to the Psalm 1. He's planted like a tree next to the living water, and I started proclaiming, and I take him back, and I call out his name, and while I'm at it, I just included all my kids, called out their name and say, you will not have them in the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you, you get your hands off of my children, I plead the blood of Jesus, protection, salvation over my children. I was just like, wow, it's like, I don't care who sees me, I got safely home. But this is the deal, I got home, and it was like, whew, wow. I was almost like,
And I felt out of it. Not out of it, but out of that cloud.
You know, sometimes you just have to pray through. When you feel that thing come, get in a place where you're alone. And sister, just pray it through. Just don't stop till that thing has to go. Okay? And then the last one is pray always. Okay. What if, just this one thing and then we're going to pray. What if I don't feel good? Pray. What if I feel good? Pray. What if I believe? Pray. What if I don't believe? Pray. What if I get answers? Hallelujah, pray. What if I don't get answers? Oh, God's mad at me. He has favorites. I don't get ever what I ask of him. What happens when you don't get what you pray? It's not, newsflash, it's not about whatever it is that you want. It is ultimately about your heart. This may be the very test to see, okay, are you going to stick with God or are you not? Are you going to believe still when you don't see? Go read Hebrews 11. Are you going to believe? Yes. The answer is yes. I read yesterday, marriage is not as much about your happiness as it is about your holiness. Did you get that? It's more about your holiness than your happiness. So if you're not happy in your marriage, be holy. Okay? Because God is ultimately more concerned in your soul and your character and your eternity than your marriage, believe it or not. You may just be using that. So we're going to couple up now. I want you to find one person next to the table. Just turn to somebody and look at each other. You don't have to hold hands if you don't know the person. Just turn to somebody. And I want you, I believe when I spoke, you know what it is. That desire or that concern, it's in the form of a desire that you've given up on. Or it's in the form of a concern or a dream in your heart that you need somebody to agree with you about. Okay? So I want you to turn to each other and start praying. We're going to give you some time to just have somebody agreeing with you and praying through and be open. Let's just, whatever is said amongst you stays there. This is powerful, ladies. Powerful when you come in agreement with somebody. So just have a quick chat. Not a lot of words. Actually, just go in and pray. The other girl will know what you're praying about and start agreeing with you. So let's just hear your voices go up in this place. Let's hear your prayers. And we believe God is answering some prayers this morning. We are going to come in agreement to just wrap this up, and then we're going to go to the next session. Everybody, I just want, maybe you have that something in your heart that you cannot tell anybody. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to agree with you right now. So, you know, just as a point of faith, just what is it that you are bringing to God and say to God, Father, your will be done, but this is what I believe. Whatever it is in your hand, just hold it up. Just raise your hands and I'm going to pray over you. Father, every hand raised represents a heart in this place that's crying to you this morning. Father, we have areas in our lives and in our worlds that only you can fix, only you can do. God, if there's any broken heart, we ask that you heal. Father, if there's any disappointed heart, we ask that you infuse hope. Father, if there's any dream, we speak life. Whatever's represented in these hands, God, that is your will and your plan for their lives, we come in agreement and we say, let it be in the name of Jesus, according to your will, O God. We give it to you, Father, and we release it now. We release it now. It belongs to you, Father. We're going to leave it at the foot of your cross, knowing that you know best. And those things that we haven't seen and we may never see this side of eternity, prayers, some prayers that may never be answered, or some questions we may have about unanswered prayers, God, we are not God. You are God. So we just give it back to you. We just give it back to you. And thank you, Lord, that you are making us spiritually strong, exercising our muscles spiritually, Lord. So every woman in this place can go home and just absolutely be the pillar of strength in their homes. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Hallelujah.
Okay, well, I was kind of getting caught up in the glory cloud there. Anyway, the last part of this session that we are focusing on, prayer, we want to talk a little bit about praying in the Spirit. The last few weeks especially, we've had a lot of praying going on here, and if you're relatively new to the Rock or new to Girlfriends and you've heard people saying some weird things that it doesn't sound like English or Spanish or any language that you've ever heard, we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about another form of prayer that can be very, very effective. Now, without getting into a really lengthy teaching, we know that on the day of Pentecost, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that when they were filled, immediately that they began to speak in tongues. And then all the examples that we see in the book of Acts, it says they spoke in tongues when they were first filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we minister the Holy Spirit to people around here, around the Rock, we expect that God's going to do the same thing he did in the early church, and he does. And all the time people are given an ability to pray in other tongues. Sometimes it can actually be another language, but it's a language that they don't know with their own mind. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So we see there, obviously we must be motivated by love, but we also see there that there's tongues of men and of angels. And that basically the gift is unknown tongues. So it's unknown to you whether it's a known language or not. But anyway, so there's this ability to speak in tongues. And certainly the other nine gifts, other eight of the nine gifts of the Spirit are also available to you as you walk in the Spirit and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to prayer, the reason we wanted to highlight this aspect a little bit today is that in the area of intercession that Pastor Eleanor touched on, it can be so, so effective because you're actually cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And we can pray in our understanding. We can talk to God about the situation. We can pray the word, obviously, and let the Holy Spirit show you scriptures, as Pastor Jess exhorted us, that you can stand in faith on and you can confess in the face of doubt, fear, and unbelief. But then there's an ability to actually cooperate with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit can pray through you according to the will of God, and many times begin to work in that person's life in a way that you didn't even know was a need, actually a need in their life. And in Romans 8:26, and I saw that I don't think they actually prepared the scripture for the overhead, but in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weakness. How many feel very weak sometimes? I've actually been overwhelmed by something to where it was like the rug was pulled out from under my feet, and you're trying to just get your grip for a moment, and the Holy Spirit helps you. But it says, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We can be so weak. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Especially when it comes to close loved ones, coworkers, people that we really care about, and they seem to be hindered from coming to the Lord, or you don't know why they haven't been able to receive something in their life. It says, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. It doesn't say we don't know how to pray, but it says that we don't always know what to pray for as we ought. For years and years, I didn't know what was it going to take for my brother Bill to come back to the Lord when he was raised in church. What was it going to take? Because he'd heard all the lessons I'd heard. He'd heard all about Jesus. He had received Jesus at a young age. But why was he still not walking with the Lord? But it says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't come out of your mouth, but really, if you look closely at the Greek there, it's saying that it can't be uttered in articulate language. In other words, you can't even really put into words what this prayer need is. You don't know what to pray for as you ought, but the Holy Spirit can pray through you according to the will of God. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that, verse 14, it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. One of the most powerful tools with praying in tongues, or praying in the Spirit, as it says here, is that the Holy Spirit can pray through you when you don't know what to pray for with your own understanding. The Holy Spirit can cooperate. You can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and he can pray through you according to the perfect will of God. And it's an amazing form of prayer. Now, there's praying by the Spirit. And many times when you get into that secret place with him, where you can sense the presence of God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And as you're just, you can sense his presence. And certainly when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it seems like that you can even sense his presence more. So I like to encourage people to come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when you're there in the presence of God, and you've prayed, you can pray by the Spirit, and that's according to his leading. Many times I find myself praying for things or people that, wow, Lord, I didn't even think that was going on maybe in her life or his life. But the Holy Spirit can lead you and prompt you in how to pray. That's one of the most amazing ways to learn how to be led by the Spirit, to just yield to the Holy Spirit and don't necessarily go by everything you've got figured out. But to yield in your heart to the Holy Spirit and say, show me how to pray for this person or this situation. And you can begin to pray that way. That's praying by the Spirit. But then praying in the Spirit is where you then go another step further and not praying so much in English or Spanish, your first language, but letting the Holy Spirit pray through you in other tongues, these other tongues. And it doesn't make sense to your mind. The Bible says that here that your understanding is unfruitful, but the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you according to the will of God. And many times, like Pastor Eleanor said, that's where I'll experience praying through. Maybe I've been praying about something and I'm just so grieved about what's going on. And there's like a grieving. And actually, as I read in Romans 8, a groaning can actually come from the depth of your spirit, where it's almost like you're just, oh, it's the Holy Spirit's just praying through you. And there's a grieving or a burden, the old Pentecostals would say, oh, if you got a burden, pray. And many times we think, I just feel so depressed. You may have actually a burden of the Lord to pray. If you get out of your self-centered little self and get into the prayer closet, you might find that depression lifting. That, why am I depressed? Why do I feel so down? Can I share a little example with you? I shared this with the Bible college one day, and a lot of times Bible college students, you know, they've been studying a lot, and they're, you know, they can tend to be a little, you know, hungrier for some of these things, so I don't always share them in every arena. But I woke up one morning, this was just a couple years ago, I woke up and I felt depressed. Has anyone ever experienced that? Say, I are a woman. No. But as I said before, as you age, sometimes, you know, you got feelings you don't want, and the feelings you want, you don't have. And, you know, so I woke up, and it was just like a spirit of depression was on me. Now, you've heard my testimony. I battled depression back in high school, my early adult years. So I don't stand for that devil. I don't like it. I don't deal with it. If it starts coming on me, it's gone. Because I have walked in victory for over 30 years. So I don't mess with that spirit. I don't let it have any ground. So I woke up and it was just on me. And I was like, oh gosh, this is nasty. I just don't even feel like getting out of bed. But I drugged myself to that little place of prayer. Yeah, you make yourself do some things. Yeah, I know I'm preaching good there, but you do. You have to make yourself do some things when you don't feel like doing it. So I went into prayer and I began to pray, study the word like I do, talk to God like I do. And then I just began to pray in the spirit. Well, typically, when I have that little season of praying in the Spirit with God, you know, the presence of God comes in. If there's anything nasty hanging around, it lifts. And I leave all hunky-dory. And my husband's glad that I prayed before I had coffee with him. But anyway, but it would not lift. That thing would not lift. And at first, I kind of wrestled with it. Like, God, I want to sense your presence. And what? I still feel yucky. And what's all this? And the Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, I'm a big one on that one. When you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. That means in the Spirit, you are built up like a mighty tower on the inside. And so I had been praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, and yet I still felt yucky, and I didn't sense his presence. I didn't feel like, you know, kicking up my heels and shouting hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of that verse, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I was like a little robot girl. I said, in the name of Jesus, you said, if I would pray in tongues, I would edify myself. I believe I'm edified. And I left that place of prayer, still didn't feel wonderful, still felt negative, still felt down. Went and had my breakfast, all, got ready, and it was a Thursday morning before girlfriends. Drove into the parking lot, came walking up, and the minute my little foot, it's a 7.5, that's kind of little. Anyway, the minute my little foot hit that sidewalk out there, it was just like the power of God just fell on me. I was just like, whew. Maybe it was that greeter we had, Keisha. It was probably the greeter. Anyway, but my point is, it seemed like the minute I hit this campus, I sensed the presence of God in a more powerful way than I had in a long time. It was kind of like, ooh. And all day, it was like I was this little billiard ball just going to the right place at the right time, saying the right thing to the right person. Remember, Pastor Jess came and got me, and she wanted me to minister to someone in the courtyard. I went out there, and just in two sentences, that person had their need met. And it was just, and then I did Bible college that night and went in there, and we all prayed. The Holy Spirit just fell on that place. We're all on our knees crying and praying and everything. And at the end of the day, I said to my husband, I said, I'm sure glad I didn't listen to my feelings. And the point is, when we pray in the Spirit, we edify ourselves. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, he can make intercession through us according to the will of God. And it may have absolutely nothing to do with your feelings, but it's a fact, and it happens, and he will use you. Is that good? So we need to get a little bit more spiritually minded and not so, oh, I don't know if God heard me because I don't feel him. The enemy can attack us in the avenues of our flesh. But we still uphold his word and we say, Father, you said if I prayed in the Spirit, I'd be edified. You said if I prayed in the Spirit that you could make intercession through me according to your will. You said my mind would be unfruitful, but I'd be praying in the Spirit and you would do a mighty work in the situation. And take it by faith. And then we see the results. Amen? Amen? So now what we'd like to do is we'd like to turn our attention to the tables. And what I'd like to do is for you to actually go ahead and pair up again. You can turn maybe to the other person. Maybe you paired with somebody on your right. Go ahead and turn to the left and pair with someone there. And just begin to pray in the Spirit. Maybe lift up something that you're both going to agree in prayer for. Maybe we need to get out of ourselves a little bit today and pray for the Inland Empire. That through all these billboards and the campaign that we're doing, the Shout campaign, that people are going to come to the house of God and receive Jesus and be born again and will get this city changed. Maybe that's a good idea. I think that's by the Spirit of God. Let's just put aside our personal needs right now and let's go to a partner at our table and let's begin to lift up the Inland Empire and that you would be a laborer. You know, I was praying for a laborer for one of my children. And God says, now you purpose in your heart to be a laborer for someone else. And he's had me on a little seek and find for a parent that might be dealing with some of the things that I'm dealing with, to be the laborer for them, to minister to them, to be a laborer for their children if their children are being attacked with the same kinds of things. And you purpose to pray for the laborers to be sent forth into the harvest, that we can reap a harvest in this inland empire, all right? So just turn to your neighbor and just say, let's pray about that. And begin to pray in the Spirit together. If you don't pray in tongues and you're open to it, ask your sister you're praying with to agree with you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that you'll be able to begin to pray in the Spirit. It's really not that hard. The early church believers, Joe Schmo believers like you and me, laid hands on people for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not impressed, or you haven't yet come into an understanding of that or desire to do that, you can pray by the Spirit. You can pray led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can show you how to pray. So let's begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Ombre besanda, gore kaziti, orabasata. Just pray in the Spirit with a sister. Ombre besata. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up the inland empire to you. Father, we thank you that you said that you would send forth laborers into the harvest. We are the laborers, Father. Send us, use us to minister to other sisters in the Lord, to invite them to church, to get them born again. Father, we pray by the Spirit. Help us to be led as we pray right now. Ombre sete, ora baba casa. Let's not do a lot of talking. Let's just begin to pray. Brosende de brasita, ombre sete, goro cosa. The Bible says that when we don't know how to pray as we ought, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Holy Spirit can pray through us. Brosende. Oh, Father, we agree. We agree. You pronounce a blessing on this agreement, Father. In the name of Jesus, we agree in prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in the inland empire. Father, we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied that we can have a church of 20-something thousand. Father, we're not satisfied. You desire to lift up a church this size on every corner, Father. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Father, we step up to the plate and we say, we are the laborers, Father. We're standing in the gap now. We're praying that laborers would go forth into the harvest and that we would be those laborers also to bring others into the kingdom. Brosende, grogoshe, ambrabasita, lebrabasata. Father, I pray now for any woman that's desiring to pray in the Spirit. Father, that her sister would just lay hands on her head, and get her filled in the name of Jesus. Just begin to pray in the Spirit if your sister has prayed for you. Oh, rabasata, lebrasita. Oh, rebesata. Gore casiti di brasa. Ombre sete. Ora sete. Then they're singing in the Spirit. That's a wonderful thing to do in the shower. Begin to sing in the Spirit, just by the Spirit of God. Oh, rebe santa, lebre bebe soto. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for every woman that's now praying in the Spirit, that you're going to teach us, Father, how to pray your word, how to pray without ceasing, how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and pray that we can be used of you and do kingdom business. Father, you are a good God. So we thank you for this time together. And Father, as we go through this day today, Father, I pray that every woman would be led by your Spirit, that she would see that supernatural element added to her life, that she can be sensitive to your Spirit. She can be led by your Spirit, and that you can use her and use us all
actually to do amazing exploits for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.